Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, first chapter, text 34. Api svit aste bhagavan sukham va ya satvatam kamadukha anirudha yam amananti sma hi Shabdayonim Manahmayam Tattva Turiya Tattvam Apishvidaste Bhagavan Sukham No
Apishvidaste Bhagavan Sukham
Vo. Yeah, that's Vo, excuse me. Apishvidaste Bhagavan Sukham Vo. Yasatvatam kamadugo nirudha Yam amananti smahi shabdayonim Manomayam satvatariya tattvam Api as also Svit Whether Aste does he Bhagavan the personality of Godhead Sukham all happiness Va of you Ya one who Satvatam of the devotees Kamadugha source of all desires Anirudha, the plenary expansion, Adhirudha. Yam, whom? Amananti, they accept. Sma, from your. He, certainly. Shabdayonin, the cause of the Rig Veda. Manamayam, Creator of the mind. Sattva, transcendental. Turiya, the fourth expansion. Tattvam, principle. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. May I inquire whether Aniruddha is doing well? He is the fulfiller of all the desires of the pure devotees and has been considered from yore to be the cause of the Rig Veda, the creator of the mind, and the fourth plenary expansion of Vishnu. Purport. Ati Chaturbhuja, the original expansions from Baladeva are Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. All of them are Vishnu tattvas, or non-different personalities of Godhead. In the incarnation of Sri Ram, all these different expansions appeared for particular pastimes. Lord Ram is the original Vasudev, and his brothers were Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. Aniruddha is also the cause of Mahavishnu, from whose breathing the Rig Veda appeared. All this is nicely explained in the Markandeya Purana. In the incarnation of Lord Krishna, Aniruddha appeared as the son of the Lord. Lord Krishna in Dwarka is the Vasudeva expansion of the original group. The original Lord Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. All the different plenary expansions are one and the same Vishnu Tattva, and there is no difference in their potency. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Udmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantakam. What can we say? Krishna is nothing short of amazing. That he has all of these expansions who are non-different from him. It's Krishna himself acting in so many different ways. And it's not simply a carbon copy of Krishna. Even though it is Krishna, it's Krishna acting as a different person, with a different personality, with different qualities, with different characteristics, different way of speaking, different way of walking, different, everything different, a whole different person. But at the same time, it is Krishna. In this material world, someone may try to do like that by becoming an actor. They're one person at home, they're another person on the stage. But actually, it's just the same person putting on an act. But when Krishna does this with all these different expanded forms, these expansions of himself, it's not that they're just putting on an act. They are actually a different personality. At the same time, they're the same person, Krishna. So it's actually quite amazing, all these different pastimes of the Lord. And even Krishna himself, how he has all these different types of pastimes, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Dwarka. Of course, the favorite Krishna of the Vaishnavas is the Krishna in Vrindavan. It breaks out just as the gopis are heartbroken when Krishna leaves from Vrindavan. Also, the Vaishnavas do not like to think of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. It's painful, Krishna leaving Vrindavan. But it's actually stated in this regard in the scripture, Vrindavanam parityaja napara ekam gacchati. Vrindavanam parityaja. The same word parityaja, sarvadharman parityaja. Abandoning or giving up, you see. So Krishna says give up all religion, sarvadharman parityaja. And it's also stated Vrindavanam parityaja, giving up Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityaja na means not. Not giving up Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityaja na pada ekam. Pada means foot and ekam means one, not even one step. Na pada gacchati means he goes. So Vrindavanam parityaja napada ekam gacchati. Krishna never sets one foot outside of Vrindavan. So the original Krishna, he is always living in Vrindavan. The gopis have him captured in their hearts. He can't leave. He's in prison. He's a prisoner, actually. The gopis' love is so powerful that Krishna is a prisoner. They have tied up Krishna with the ropes of their intense love for him. So actually Krishna can never, ever, ever step even one foot outside of Vrindavan. So he does come out as his expanded form of Vasudeva to have his Dwarka Leela. Then, of course, Krishna further expands for his own enjoyment as the jiva tattvas, as completely separate personalities who are not him at all, who are not personalities of Godhead, who are servants. That's us. Sometimes we hear that God created, as if there was a certain time when the creation did not exist and then Krishna brought it to existence, that God created us. But actually, as we studied last night, the time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. And it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2. Natvevaham jatunasam natvam nema janadipa nachaiva novavishamam sarve vayamataparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So that means that when it says that God created us, it doesn't mean that at some particular point in time we didn't exist and then he brought us into existence. It doesn't mean that. Because Krishna confirms in chapter 2 that actually we've always existed as he has always existed. So then the question would be, well, if we've always existed, then how did he create us? That'd be the next question. Well, the answer actually is confound in chapter 10. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mutak sarvam pravartate. That everything is emanating from Krishna. He says, I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. So that means that Krishna is eternally emanating us from himself. He has always been emanating us, and he will always be emanating us. He was emanating us in the past, he is emanating us at this very minute, and he will emanate us eternally into the future. And that's how you exist. You exist because God is emanating you from himself. Therefore, he is creating you at every minute. You're eternally being created by his emanating you. So in that sense, we are created by God, but it's something that's always happening. He's always creating us by his desire. He's always desiring that we should exist, and therefore we are existing by his creating us at every minute. And Krishna has guaranteed us that we will continue to exist eternally. So those people who want to commit spiritual suicide by merging into Brahman might as well just forget about it, because such a state is not actually possible. Krishna doesn't want that. He wants the living entities, although he may sometimes give a facility that you can think that you're merged in Brahman. That Brahman realization of merging into oneness is an imaginary state. It's stated in the Bhagavatam, Vimukti Maninas. Maninas means the mind. Vimukti means liberation. So that liberation is imagined. It's only in the mind that they are liberated, actually. The Mayavadis are not actually liberated. They're just thinking they're liberated. Therefore, Krishna, the Bhagavatam says, Vimukti Maninas. So-called imagined liberation. You see? So we don't actually merge into Brahman. We just think that we have. The individuality of a living entity is eternally existing, cannot be taken away by anything. Even the so-called Suyuja Mukti is a sense of being merged into the Lord. It's not factual merging into the Lord. It's a sensation of having lost one's individuality. So we were eternally existing. We're eternal emanations of the Absolute, Lord Shri Krishna. And our perfection is to love him in many varieties of transcendental relationships, Shantaras, Dasharas, etc. Friendship, as we're reading in the morning now, the nectar devotion, all these wonderful, wonderful friendship relationships, parental friendship, servitor friendship, all many varieties of friendship. So everyone has their place in the Krishna world. The whole creation is the Krishna world, actually. There's one popular amusement park called Disney World, you see. But actually, the whole creation is the most popular amusement park, and it's called Krishna World. Krishna is creating it or manifesting it eternally, simply for his enjoyment. And so, simply for his enjoyment, the Krishna World is going on. It's like in Disney World, they have, you know, they have Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and, you know, so many characters. For varieties of rasa. You can go on the Mickey Mouse ride, the Donald Duck ride. So, this is simply a very reflection. Shri Nishinga Bhagavan Ki Jai. Shri Radhadamadar Ki Jai. So this is simply for very reflection. The original world, that is the Krishna world. And there everything is going on perfectly for the satisfaction of Krishna. What does that mean for us? There's an old saying, what's in it for me? In this material world, everyone is selfish. Everyone wants to know what's in it for me. What will I get out of this? You see? Is it worth my time and energy? What's in it for me? The fact is that this Krishna world, in which everything is existing, there's nothing outside of the Krishna world, everything is. Everything that exists, exists within the Krishna world. This means that if one harmonizes oneself or dovetails oneself with Krishna to the system known as bhakti yoga, then this is Krishna is enjoying like anything at every minute. The devotee, he also enjoys like anything at every minute. Like anything. He enjoys unlimited pleasure. Nava nava rasa damanu yata rantumasit. There was that one king, his name was Jamunacharya. Actually, he was a great learned devotee. And he became king. There's a whole story. And as king, he became somewhat overwhelmed by sense enjoyment. Because the kings, they have so many, they can enjoy with so many women. When they marry a queen, they also, all the maidservants come along with the queen. So there's, and the king, he can enjoy all the maidservants also with no restriction. So it's a very bewildering position for one who wants to be transcendentally situated to be king. So he became covered. His Krishna consciousness was temporarily covered by this becoming king. But then later he came back to his transcendental position. He gave up the life of sense enjoyment of king. Became a pure devotee of Krishna. So he was given very nice prayer. Very, very nice prayer. In this regard, he says, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasa damanunyata rantumasit tadavadi mbuttanari sangame smaryamane bhavati muka shishtu nishtivanamcha. He says that ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna, deriving ever-increasing pleasure in that relationship, nava-nava-rasa, newer and newer tastes, you see. Nava-nava-rasa, newer and newer tastes. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental service of Lord Krishna, deriving ever-newer tastes in that service, he said, whenever I think of having sex with a woman, whenever the thought of sex pleasure enters my mind, I just, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. It's a good prayer for brahmacharis. I spit at the thought. So, not to spit at the women, but spit at the thought of sex. And it goes the other way too. Women can think of this as well. And they should spit at the thought of having sex with men, not that they spit at the men. So, we spit at the idea of sexual enjoyment because the pleasure, why? Jamunacharya is saying, nava nava rasa. Of course, if one wants to have sex for producing Krishna conscious children, then that is spiritual. But any other type of sex is simply considered abominable and worthy of being spat upon. You see? So, this is the great pleasure of Krishna consciousness. In this material world, sex is considered the most enjoyable thing. The radio is filled with songs, the movies are full of songs of sex pleasure. The Beatles became famous singing songs of sex pleasure. So this is material world. Everyone's running on this principle of sex pleasure. But the fact is that it's disgusting. Compared to the nava-nava rasa, the ever-increasing pleasure of Krishna consciousness, sex is just coming down to a lower platform. I remember years and years ago when I was a young brahmachari, one household man, he was telling me that he and his wife, they wanted to have a child. So they were following the prescribed method of chanting 50 rounds, waiting once a month and chanting 50 rounds, and then having sex for producing a child. So he explained to me that my wife and I, we waited a month, we chanted 50 rounds, and we were so high on chanting Hare Krishna, we said, let's wait another month. This mantra is so wonderful. It's so enlivening. Who wants to come down some bodily platform with sex? Ugh. Let's just wait another month before we try to have a child. This mantra is so wonderful. So I always thought it was very profound. And actually it is. That one can actually completely walk away from sex pleasure, you see. Because this Hare Krishna is so enjoyable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One can be a brahmachari, a sannyasi. One can be a brahmacharini, you see. Because this sex pleasure is so disgusting compared to the sweet nectar of Krishna's holy name. It's incomparable, actually. There's no comparison between sex and Krishna. It is compared in the Bhagavatam. Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham itu cham. Yan maitanadi, maitan means sex. Maitun, adi. It means sex, adi means the original or first or number one thing. So maitun is considered number one pleasure. That yan, maitunadi, that number one pleasure, yan maitunadi sukham, means pleasure. That number one pleasure of sexual intercourse, Bhagavatam now will tell us about it. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham, and then what does Bhagavatam say? He, which means indeed, tucham, which means insignificant, or Prabhupada has translated it, 10th class. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham, he tucham. That sex pleasure, which is considered the prime enjoyment of this material existence, is regarded as simply 10th class pleasure. So, if we can give up this lusty tendency in the heart, you see, that lust is a stumbling block which will prevent us from developing love for Krishna. If we can give up this lusty tendency of the heart and develop our love for Krishna, then we will enter into that sweet transcendental existence where at every moment it is simply a playground. For one who has seriously and totally, wholly absorbed themselves in loving service to Lord Krishna, this material world becomes transformed into a playground. My godbrother Satyaraj Prabhu, who is a prolific author of transcendental literature, he does a lot of research of various writings to help him write his books. You know, comparative philosophy, comparative religion, to establish the supremacy of Vaishnava Dharma. So he researches a lot of different books to enable him to show the supremacy of this philosophy over all other philosophies. So he told me when he goes to a bookstore, he's like a kid in a candy shop. So that's actually a good simile for someone who seriously takes up Krishna consciousness, who fully and purely absorbs themselves in Krishna's service, This whole material world becomes for them like a kid in a candy shop. In other words, this material world becomes as good as the spiritual world for such a person. It's purely absorbed in Krishna's service. Because at every step there's an opportunity to connect with Krishna. Such a person sees Krishna with everything and everything within Krishna. Such a person sees unlimited opportunities for sharing Krishna with a fallen conditioned soul to help them out of the quagmire of the cycle of birth and death. So if we will cultivate this pure mood of bhakti, that my every thought, my every word, and my every deed must be absolutely, completely pleasing to Guru and Krishna in all times, all places, and all circumstances, then we can just say goodbye to anxiety once and for all, forever. Never again will we experience any anxieties. Would you like that? No more anxieties? Who here likes anxiety? Do you like anxiety? You like to be miserable? I'll give you some anxieties if you like. You don't like? You see? Who wants anxiety? Do you want an anxiety? I'll give you some anxiety. You see? Would you like anxieties? I'll give you some, yes. I'll give you some disease. Bedridden, make you bedridden for the rest of your life. But you see, no one wants anxiety. We all want to be happy at every minute. So that is available. That dimension of consciousness, which is completely, totally free of all anxiety, that is called Vaikuntha. You see? That dimension, completely free of anxiety, that is available for each and every one of us right here, right now. We don't have to wait till next year. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We don't have to wait for an hour. We don't have to wait for 5 minutes. If we can totally, purely absorb ourselves in Krishna bhakti right now, then we will. That will be the end of our anxieties for all of eternity. So what's holding us back? Why don't we just do it and completely, totally surrender to Krishna this very minute? What's holding us back? Well, Prabhupada explains it's not surprising that the living entity is still enamored by women and money, or in the case of women, still enamored by men and money. You see, it's not surprising because we've been enamored by the opposite sex and money for millions of lifetimes. Describes this in the Bhagavatam Purport. We have been addicted to women and money, or men and money, for millions and millions of births. So to come out of that hallucination, to come out of that illusion, is not an easy, instant thing, although it can be. Because there will be that moment in which we will, in fact, completely get free of Maya. At some point in the future, if we stick to this pathway of Krishna bhakti, there will come that glorious moment when we will finally leave aside any attachment for sense gratification and just be totally, fully absorbed in pure devotional service. That glorious moment when the Krishna sun becomes fully risen within our heart and all the darkness of illusion is completely mitigated. That moment is indeed coming if we stick to this pathway. The only question is not a question of when, of if, I mean to say. If we stick to this pathway, it's not a question of if, it's a question merely of when. And the more we can intensely absorb ourselves in this process of Krishna consciousness at every instant, the quicker that moment will come. Therefore, we advise everyone, take up this Krishna consciousness with great intensity. Do not be lackadaisical. My Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj, one time explained regarding the science of Krishna consciousness. He said, casual means casualty. In other words, if you take this process of Krishna consciousness in a very casual way, that not very seriously, you see. You take it in a way which is not very seriously, in a very casual way. Very relaxed. Oh, you know. Yeah, it's all right, Krishna consciousness. But you see, not serious. Yes, I must become a pure devotee as soon as possible. See, if we take it casually, then we become casualty. Maya grabs us and brings us back into her kingdom. So we should take it very, very seriously. We should strive with great intensity to become Krishna conscious. You see? With great intensity. That I must become Krishna conscious. Now. And then we will enter into that, fully enter into that blissful, ecstatic world of Krishna, where life is eternal, life is full of knowledge, and life is full of bliss. And there is no touch of the material nature. So we thank you very much. Are there any questions? 1 minute. Okay, what is that question?
Sirius is asking, you see, you quoted this verse in the beginning of the class, that Krishna never puts one step outside of Vrindavan, but he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and conquer Kamsa.
Yes, that was his expanded form, Vasudev. The original Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. What leaves Vrindavan is actually an expansion of Krishna. The original Krishna remains fully manifest within the hearts of the gopis who are living in Vrindavan. Questions more? Yes.
This now, why are they feeling then separation, the gopis?
Yes. So, if Krishna is in their hearts, why are they feeling such separation? Because Krishna is not externally manifest. They want to see him externally manifest. Externally, Krishna disappeared from Vrindavan. And that plunged them into an ocean of intense lamentation, anguish, to where it was a pitiable, the Brijavasis were in a condition that was absolutely pitiable. If we think that the condition of New Orleans was pitiable after Hurricane Katrina, then we haven't seen anything compared to the devastation, Hurricane Krishna, the departure of Krishna, external departure of Krishna from Vrindavan was like Hurricane Krishna. And it plunged the Brijavasis into a state of devastation that makes Hurricane Katrina look like a cakewalk or some birthday party or something like that. It was the intensity of devastation of the gopis would break any man's heart to see the intensity of anguish. So in that intense anguish, they could do nothing but go within their hearts and meditate. They couldn't tolerate to live even in Krishna's separation. So they went deep, deep within their hearts. And they associated Krishna with Krishna within their hearts by remembering all of his transcendental pastimes, every little detail of every pastime. They would go back and they would relive and they would rehash and remember and remember and remember and remember. They would just go over again, yes, Krishna did this, Krishna said that. And they couldn't bear the thought that Krishna was no longer present. And so they would just go back and live within those memories, that is, as if it was happening right then at that moment, you see. They would just live in those memories. Krishna, they would just relive those memories. That's all they had, was the memories. They lived in those memories. So Krishna was fully present in those memories, and that's how he was captured and was not leaving Vrindavan. Another question.
Yeah, now the original question to what you said in the end of the lecture. It's very easy how it sounds. Okay, take Krishna consciousness right now, and then we have it. We have to surrender right now, and we never come back. Something like this. But sometimes we have this feeling, or at least myself, that I go really into it, but somehow I get also after some time out of it again. Maya attracts me again back, or you even can see it on some kind of authorities that they it seems that they have deep realizations about Krishna consciousness. But even they falling down again. So why is happening?
Why someone falls down?
I mean, it sounds so good, you know. You just have to.
Why does someone fall down? There is one saying: pride cometh before the fall. If there's any pride, even subtle amount of pride. It's like a cancer. If there's even a slight tinge of pride, that can overtake one's consciousness and take one out of this Krishna consciousness movement. That's what causes devotees to fall down, pride. That's why our number one responsibility to ourselves is to become absolutely, totally, completely, 100% prideless. That we have to do. If we don't become absolutely, totally, 100% prideless, we are flirting with disaster. One devotee, he was thinking, he will show Prabhupada how prideless he is. He wrote one letter to Srila Prabhupada and said, signed it, "Your most fallen servant." And Prabhupada replied, he said, "You're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant." So we may try to, I will show how humble I am. I'm your most fallen servant. We may present ourselves as most fallen. But actually we're more thinking, I'm most. We're thinking most, you know, with capitals. I'm your most. M-O-S-T, capital M, capital O, capital S, capital T. Most, I'm your most fallen disciple. So we have to understand that false pride is a very, very difficult thing to overcome. It has been the downfall of many of our great leaders in this movement, actually, who did wonderful service for Srila Prabhupada. Incredible, unthinkable bravery they exhibited for Prabhupada. But because they did not fully conquer the false pride within the heart, it was just a matter of time before that cancer gradually grew and took them away. So my best advice to you, you want to make absolutely sure that you never leave this movement, is that you must become totally, completely prideless. Absolutely prideless. How to become prideless? That question is difficult to answer for one who is still infected with pride. All I can do is beg the mercy of that person who is completely free from Srila Prabhupada. Kindly bless me with a way to answer this properly. Prabhupada is completely prideless. I cannot make such a claim. Prabhupada has given us a system how to become completely prideless. That system is called guru-disciple system. Spiritual master. Some people say, Prabhupada is a guru, and that's it. They're called Ritvik philosophy. You don't need a living guru because Prabhupada's alive in his books. But the fact is, We actually need a spiritual master who can smash our pride, who can say, this is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, you're nonsense, who can get angry at us and chastise us, can actually devastate us, emotionally devastate us, some, if necessary, for our nonsensical attitudes. So that the guru is, that's why guru is required. Actually, Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, you all have read it, that without initiation, the connection with Krishna consciousness, the connection with Krishna is not made. So guru, disciple relationship is your key of how to become prideless. That here is a person who can tell me I'm wrong, I'm nonsense, and I have to accept it. I can't argue back. And if guru is not always there with you, our gurus generally are traveling around ISKCON, then you have to also learn how to humble yourself to the persons who represent your spiritual master, your senior devotees. You have to learn also how to be corrected by even your peers. We have to always be in that mood of rectification, that I am not perfect, I am honeycombed with innumerable faults. Therefore, my spiritual master can point out to me my faults. And in his absence, others, my superiors, my peers, even a junior. If I'm doing something wrong and a junior tells me I'm doing something wrong, then I will take it. Okay. Chanakya Pandit says gold can be taken even from a filthy place. So any devotee on any level is not filthy. Even a non-devotee, a karmi, you see, Chanakya Pandit would take even gold from him. The point is, we have to always be looking for our faults. We have to be looking for our faults. Aggressively looking for our faults. And asking others to help us see what are our faults. Because the fact is, it's very difficult to be objective about our own faults, because we are proud. That's why we're here. You say you're not proud, I say I have proof that you're proud. And what is the proof? You have a material body. This is the proof that you're a proud rascal. This is a prison uniform, your material body. I have proof that you're a proud, puffed up demon. You have a material body. That's the proof. Do you understand? You're a proud rascal, demon, asura. That's our position in this material world. So we require serious, serious rectification. We have a society to help us do that. We should be begging the devotees, my dear Prabhu, please tell me, what are my faults? My dear God brother, please tell me, what are my faults? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You want to sit with me? That's it with me, come on. What are my faults? You see, that we should be begging to understand. What are my faults? You want to go? All right. Hare Krishna. So what are my faults? You see? That we have to understand. We have to beg the devotees to kindly tell me what are my faults. Always be in that mood, just a beggar. My dear Prabhu, please give me the mercy. Please tell me what are my faults. For always in that mood, and I guarantee you, you'll be one fixed up devotee. If you're always in that mood, you will become nishta, solidly fixed devotee. You're always humbly begging your seniors and your trusted, confidential companions to please tell me what are my faults. And sincerely try to understand how it is that you are at fault. Questions more? That was an excellent question. But don't get puffed up for asking a good question. It's Krishna's mercy. Yes.
One should cleanse one's heart step by step, and not immediately. On the other hand, there's the example of Pradhana Maharaj, who also surrendered immediately. How do we get this together?
Did you
on one hand, it says we should surrender immediately.
Yeah.
Prabhupada also writes in one Gita purport, one should cleanse one's heart step by step.
Yeah. Immediately is not very realistic thing. We can't really do it immediately. If we think that we've done it immediately, then we're probably imagining it. There are examples of persons who did do it immediately, however. Maharaj Katvanga, he was a very powerful Kshatriya king, earthly king. And at the time of his living, the demigods in the heavenly planets were being attacked by the demons. And the demons were attacking with such vehemence that the demigods could not fight them off successfully. They were being overpowered by the demons. So they enlisted the help of Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga fought valiantly for many, 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 many long years, actually, without any exhaustion. With great strength and energy, he fought against the demons. And he defeated them. The demigods were so grateful. They said, any benediction you want, we will give you. You just tell us, what do you want, Maharaj? And he was not only was he a powerful king, but he was Rishi. The kings in Vedic culture were known as Rajarshi. They were Raja and Rishi. They were king and saint at the same time. Rajarshi, Raja, Rishi, Rajarshi. So he was Rajarshi. When they offered him any benediction he would like, he simply said, you kindly tell me when I will die. Just tell me when I will die, that's all. That's all I want. So with the demigods, with their power of Deshakala, of Trikalagya, he said, oh, you're dying just now. You're just now dying. He said, thank you. Hare Krishna. And he surrendered to the Lord. Became a pure devotee instantly. So there are examples of persons who immediately fully surrendered to Krishna. But for us, it is gradual process. But we should not make it any more gradual than it has to be. We should try to make it as immediate as possible because, guess what? Just as Maharaj Katvanga had to meet his demise, you will also. Today or tomorrow, you will also die. So do not postpone your surrender to Krishna until next week, or next year, or next lifetime. Make your determination that I must surrender now to Krishna. And then you'll be on the safe side. Let's put it like this. Live every day as if it were your last. Because one day it will be. Live every day as if it was your last, because one day it will be. Questions more? Grantharab Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.